What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls.
Greetings, adventurers. I am Lotus of Doom, not Tom, as you can probably tell. So Tom is actually on vacation. Robots needed a little recharge. So in his stead, we're kind of going to do this little, I don't know, not spin-off, but let's say crossover episode where we have TES Benefactor from the Imperial Library going to join me today to talk about crossovers. Welcome, welcome, Benefactor. How are you?
Doing good. I'm glad to be part of this crossover, as it's a big topic as of right now in Elder Scrolls community.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So we were joking that we came up with this, like, well, I threw the idea out to you because I was going to try to do just like a short little show to fill in so that we wouldn't have to miss a week for everybody. And you came up with the idea because you kind of had some documentation on it already. It was like, oh, what if we do a crossover thing? Like, Elder Scrolls has been in other things. Why don't we, like, cover that as kind of an interesting little side thing? And I thought that was a great idea. And in order to, I guess, have Elder Scrolls really just coincide with us, there was a crossover announced literally on the day that we are taping this, which is Thursday, the 20th of July, which I guess for the sake of it and kind of Rob joked in chat, we might as well start with this one just because it's literally so relevant and then go into some of the weird ones and stuff like that. So earlier today, they announced that The Elder Scrolls Online is available on the Epic Game Store, which it was not previously. And then as a promotional thing, you can get Elder Scrolls themed cosmetics in Fortnite, which is not something I expected. Do you play Fortnite, Benefactor?
I have never played Fortnite, but I just might pick it up for this crossover event just to say that I played it.
So it worked. I've played very, very minimal Fortnite. Battle royales aren't super my thing, even though I like shooters. Just like Azure mentioned in the chat, there's an Ebonheart axe. The Ouroboros that you can have like on your back is interesting. It's just kind of strange to think of like the Nord hero running around with an assault rifle. That's a little weird. But, you know, it's, hey, you can't fault them for trying. Fortnite's still a huge property. And it's certainly an interesting way of unveiling the Elder Scrolls Online for the Epic Game Store.
I will say that the axe makes sense, but
it does.
The gun with the leather wraps around it was a surprising addition.
Yeah, for sure. I think I actually joked when this got brought up in the Lorecast Discord. Gunomancy has now officially reached the series.
Now, when is it going to come back into Tamriel?
Exactly.
Are we going to have guns, Dwemer machine?
You know, if anything was going to have like some type of automatic weapon or even semi-automatic type of thing, you'd think it would be a Dwemer contraption more than just like generic Nord hero running around with like a strapped up rifle. It's like, but yeah, to your point, the axe definitely makes sense because, again, that's how you break stuff in Fortnite. So, you know, okay, that's fine. And you have axes in series. I mean, you literally mine in series as well. So they could have done like one of the pickaxes. A lot of options with that to keep it still somewhat grounded. The gun is really, really weird. But I mean, it's kind of, I mean, it's a shooter, so you have to kind of have that. Otherwise, what the hell would be the point? Yeah, you can play this Elder Scrolls themed thing and then just get destroyed by everybody all the time. Probably not the greatest selling point.
Now, did you also look at the Lore Master's Twitter today and what he said about Molag Bal not being a Disney princess?
Yes.
Because of this crossover.
Exactly. Yeah. which sparked some very interesting things as well. I like how everybody's kind of been like running with this because some crossovers totally make sense. We'll get into one just like we've touched on it in this, you know, in this podcast before because it's in the Bethesda universe and it's more of like a nod to itself type of thing. But like, I love how everybody's just kind of like, okay, well, this is completely zany and off the wall, and it's totally just being accepted as zany and off the wall. So, yeah, it's pretty great all around. I'm certainly amused. You know, I've tried Fortnite. It's not for me. I don't know if I would pick something like this up. But, like, if you haven't, the game's free, so you can always try it, goof around with it, and unlock whatever. Be kind of neat because it did. The Elder Scrolls Online also launched on the Epic Game Store. It'd be kind of neat if there was like a crossover, like, oh, you get this item in Elder Scrolls Online by testing out Fortnite. I don't know if that's a thing or not yet, but it wouldn't totally surprise me if they did something like that.
And speaking of that, they've actually done something very similar before with Doom. They released a Doom crab, but it wasn't really a crossover for, say, as a reference.
Right. Yes. And that's kind of it. We'll move into some of the other ones that are not so relevant, to today. But yes, there was the Doom crab, which was very amusing. I actually remember that. I think I saw that photo on Twitter because it was... That was like Doom Eternal, wasn't it? That it was linked to?
It was Doom Eternal it was released for.
Okay, that's what I thought it was.
Now, I do have to ask before we move on to any of these other crossovers, how long do you think it's going to be before the community brings out a Molag Bal and a Disney princess dress as an artwork?
I will be shocked if some of our friends have not already started work. And by the end of like the week, give it the next day or two, I'm expecting to see like, you know, Molag Bal in a nice little tutu or something like that. Or one of the fancy ones like from Cinderella, just really gussied up, something really fun. Because, yeah, you know what? The art community around the Elder Scrolls is really talented. And they're also really talented at just like making ridiculous stuff as well. You know, Gwen the Bard alone, just from my emotes on the channel with all the goofy little Hermaeus Mortar with the party hats and stuff like that. Love that stuff. So it's like, you know, leave it to the community. Totally going to happen. It's almost inevitable. So why don't we, well, we mentioned the reference. Some of these will be very quick references. Some of them will be a little more interesting to chat with for a bit. What's the next one that you would like to bring up with crossover wise? What do you find interesting next?
If I was to go with very interesting, let's go ahead and go with the joke of Nuka-Cola showing up with the Skyrim Very Special Edition, which is a joke in itself.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Does that even count? Like, technically, I guess Alexa's a platform. Sorry for everybody's things that I probably just turned on by saying that. I mean, that's a platform, but that's also a weird crossover sort of too in and of itself.
It is a very weird crossover and something that came out of left field as a joke, but actually became a real thing that they released. Skyrim for Alexa has a reward for when you complete one of the quests, and as the quest giver is giving you the reward, it says, as a reward, they give you a Nuka-Cola. And then it stops and it's like, wait, this must be sort of a mistake.
Yes, which is also, oh man, it, again, very amusing. So the, if you want to, you know what, we'll stick with this as well. This is one that we've brought up before a while back, related to, that was a situation of like the Fallout crossover. The, we went over the long-standing thing of like, oh, are Fallout and Elder Scrolls in the same community? And some people really love the way that they think those intertwine, even though it kind of doesn't make any sense. But again, when you have a kind of a community wrapped around a developer as much as just an individual game, Blizzard's notorious for this, where all their games are kind of intertwined, even though they're not technically like the same universe and stuff like that. The fact that there are the nerd roots on the Prydwen has always been amusing to me. Now, they don't literally call them nerd roots. You can't harvest them as nerd roots, but they're the Nernroot model. Like, it's, so it's like there's more than one reference between those two series, which both owned by Bethesda. It sort of makes sense that they're going to give like little nods to them, because it's also the same team that is involved with a lot of this. It's Bethesda Game Studios under the direction of Todd Howard. So honestly, if we get to Starfield and don't have some type of weird little wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I'll be shocked. I mean, it might take a while to find, but it's going to be there.
I am fully expecting us to land on a planet and see a Nernroot, or even an Argonian, or a something that looks like a Daedra, on, because there's going to be plenty of planets out there for us to explore in Starfield. And if there's not something, I would be really surprised.
Right. We're going to land on someplace called Nern or whatever, and it's like 987th out in the galaxy or something. So it takes like 9 months before anybody finds it or whatever. But so there's another one, and it's smaller. But I wanted to just kind of like jump to it real quick, because I had made the reference to to Blizzard before. And this one I wanted to mention related to Warcraft. Do you know which one I'm about to bring? Yeah, that
I do know which one you're about to bring up. It's an unofficial reference of Daedric appearing in World of Warcraft.
Yes, this one's because, again, some of these are a little weird that we'll be addressing. Obviously, yes, this is not like a, hey, we collaborated with Blizzard and they did this really cool thing. This is on a piece of stone in Warcraft, and just so people are aware, I mean, the show is explicit because a lot of the topics are explicit, but it the message on the stone itself actually says fuck you, which is kind of interesting. It's sort of like a developer joke, I'm guessing, but yeah, it's definitely there. Again, this one's not like an official thing, but it is certainly, we would be remiss to not bring that one up, because when I originally found out about that one, I thought that was pretty funny, as the worlds are shared quite a bit, just style-wise. I would say Elder Scrolls is much more grounded overall, but, you know, similar aesthetic of like the high fantasy medieval type thing.
And very soon, it's very possible that they're going to be underneath the same umbrella, too.
That is very true and very interesting in the grand scheme of things. What with the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard, seeming like it's about to happen. It's made it through all of the things. They're kind of tying up loose ends at this point. But as we all know, Blizzard and ZeniMax proper all got purchased. So, you know, like you said, they're all going to be under the grand umbrella of Microsoft, apparently. Interesting stuff. I don't know. I think for their situation, it is probably good, just because of the potential benefit to their culture and stuff like that, as they had a myriad of issues there prior to, which has had me kind of like skeptical on supporting some of their games, but not wanting to not support the developers, blah, blah. I've gone over that before, so we don't need to rehash that. Things improving, this might help nudge that in another direction more so. The mega conglomerate thing does make me a little uneasy, but, you know, I guess there's...
Definitely understandable, but with the acquisition of all these companies underneath one umbrella, it would make any kind of crossover like we're talking about today much more common and easier to be able to do. References to each game underneath the umbrella, you don't have to worry about copyright or right. any other concerns that you normally would.
That's very true, actually. That's kind of a really good point. And with a lot of these things, you know, one of the benefits, I guess, of Bethesda, the game studio itself, is their openness to work with the community on mods and stuff like that. So it would, you know, it doesn't seem like Microsoft has restricted too much of that. It seems like, you know, they kind of a lot of hands off when needed nowadays, not maybe before. Be kind of interesting just what might be shared between studios if they're all under the same umbrella, because both, you know, both studios have very different feels to them, but also, you know, there are similarities and strengths and weaknesses of both of them. So it's also kind of interesting to see, because we know that ZeniMax in general shares a lot of information between their things. Fallout 76 now uses the id Tech engine on like their gun mechanics and stuff like that. So it's like they do share amongst themselves when you have that benefit of all being under the same umbrella.
Oh, definitely. And what I'm going to get into in just a little bit is how that allows references between different franchises. And with it, if you want to go into conspiracy theories of video games in a bit, we can actually be able to connect each of these universes together to make these references mean more than just references to each other in a Tommy Westfall like situation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's go with it. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I lost my train of thought. All right. You know what? I'll have you where. What have you got next on the docket for us?
Let's go back to Fallout, actually.
Okay, I like it.
So with Fallout, we already talked about the Nern root yep. that appears in base game Fallout 4. But with the Creation Club, there was a fantasy hero set featuring Grognak in a TV show for Grognak. In a kind of a mirror to real life, we're getting a Fallout TV show in real life, but
hopefully one day.
One day. But for now, let's talk about Fallout has a show about Grognak, which is the equivalent of having a Skyrim TV show in their universe. And the sword and helm from that show was a replica of that from Skyrim. You have the exact same sword, same helmet.
Yeah, the horned helm is so iconic to Skyrim. It's kind of like a little like in your face how referential it is to itself. So that's definitely kind of an amusing one, just because they have all sorts of interesting comics in the Fallout series. Go listen to the Fallout lore cast if you would like to learn from... I love Fallout, but I am not up to date on my Fallout lore. But at least not to the same degree, usually. But it's interesting because, like, I've always found the 50s nostalgia-style comics in the series very amusing. And when I first started playing Grognak, like, popping up, I was like, oh, that's kind of amusing type of thing. Because it's also, like, sort of a Conan the Barbarian thing. But then it's, like... the way it kind of nudged more toward the oh, by the way, it's got a lot of Nord influence type of thing going to it, is pretty amusing. And I mean, obviously kind of assumed to be intentional as the series has like gone on, and both of them, you know, have become much more than what they started as, with, you know, how Morrowind essentially was one step away from bankruptcy for them, as well as, you know, they acquired Fallout as a series, as opposed to starting it from the ground up. Like, that was, you know, from Interplay prior to, and then they kind of made it their own in a shooter and stuff like that.
But going on with the theme of Fallout and Elder Scrolls being intertwined, we actually have our biggest crossover to date, which would be with Fallout Shelter Online. Are you aware of?
So I loved Fallout Shelter, the one we got, and I'm aware of Fallout Shelter Online, but we may want you. You'll probably be a little more adept at explaining it. Give a quick run through of Fallout Shelter Online, because I really just kind of know it from a surface value anyways. But explain, because it is different than Fallout Shelter. I guess you'd call Fallout Shelter Western or whatever you want to call it. Like, the one that we know is a little different than Fallout Shelter Online.
So Fallout Shelter Online was a game that was released in Asia only. It was released in English as well as several other languages, but it was never released here in the West. In the United States, even though it's with Bethesda, it was fully produced and released in East Asia. With that, they have done many different crossovers and storylines within the game. It takes place slightly after, like a year or two after the end of Fallout 4. And you continue the storyline of Nate and many of the other characters that you played with within Fallout 4 or Fallout 3 or even other Fallout games. You've had a few characters show up from. And with the crossovers, they've had a crossover with Doom, where demons are invading the Fallout universe. And they've had a Fallout Shelter Online had a crossover with Blades. Blades is another Elder Scrolls mobile game that we haven't really had too many updates with, but it had a
crossover with that game and kind of fizzled into just like it exists as is, which is too bad. We won't get into a whole Blades discussion, but I really liked Blades. And the music is by Ian Unzer still. It's amazing for a phone game.
So getting into a little bit of spoiler territory here with Blades, you have a quest line regarding the River Snake that's never fully resolved within Blades itself. But there is a Skyrim creation club of the Headsman Axe, which brings some of the characters from Blades over to Skyrim that follows up on that storyline.
That's pretty cool. I did not actually... That one's new to me.
Going on from that, some of the storyline of Fallout Shelter Online has the Blades agent from Blades, Sashi, a dragon, and a lich being pulled into the Fallout universe. And it takes place not in 175 when Blades takes place, but it takes place in the year 202 or 203 of Skyrim, right after Skyrim.
Right after Skyrim. So it's like this crossover, late fifth era.
So this crossover has the latest time available in any Elder Scrolls game.
That's pretty funny, because I had heard about the Elder Scrolls one. I heard about the game, but I know next to nothing, which is why, like, I'm glad you were able to explain that a little more in depth. I didn't know about the Doom crossover part of it, but it's really funny because Fallout Shelter Online almost sounds like the, like, not competitive fighting game version of, like, Smash Brothers in, like, the Bethesda universe, as opposed to, like, oh, all the Nintendo universe is in this game and they're playing soccer or they're beating each other up. And it's like, yeah, so there's this like shelter building game where you go out in the wasteland, but it's like all of Bethesda in one big lump sum type of deal. So that's pretty wild.
And it's not just a regular crossover to characters showing up, but there's actual story behind it. The whole story is that these characters from the Elder Scrolls universe are exploring a ruin, a Nordic ruin, after the Dragonborn sends them to this ruin to explore it. And while exploring it, they get teleported along with the ruin to the Fallout universe, at which point they're trying to find a way back home.
That's pretty funny. And actually, interestingly enough, it was brought up in chat just by Rob the Princess. Something ESO does have the new dungeons that do involve time travel. And there's a lore book that implies it's very, very far in the future. The dungeon you're referring to, yes, it's Balsunner. It was part of the newest season of Shadows of Morrowind. It was one of the, pre-dungeons prior to the expansion coming out. And time travel isn't something devoid from the series. I mean, Dragon Breaks literally in of itself, like, kind of get them out of some writing MacGuffins that they've fallen into in the past, because these games are so open, sometimes you have to try to dig yourself into a timeline that you can actually, like, write into, as opposed to just be like, yep, you all chose different endings, I guess we're screwed. Like,
now, do you want to have your mind truly blown with this crossover?
Yes, this is what I'm waiting for. All right, let's get weird.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Before we go into that, one more thing I want to mention about it is that there is a module you can add to your vault, which is called the Imperial Library, which is a reference to the Imperial Library that I help run.
That's amazing.
We were not aware that this existed until I started messing around with the game and found out about it.
That's and you incredible.
And you get to read books from the game inside Fallout Shelter.
That's so good.
Now, to really blow your mind, if the Fallout universe and the Elder Scrolls universe are two separate universes running on the same time scale, then if we take the year that this supposedly takes place, which would be around 2288 to 2290,
okay,
and we subtract the amount of years that have occurred within the Elder Scrolls universe, which is around, if we subtract years back, so 2288 would be 202 in Tamriel. If we subtract the years back to find out what was happening in Tamriel when the Great War happened, we get to the year Third Era 427, which is the year that the Nerevarian separates the heart from Red Mountain.
That's so weird.
So if we take that as a fact, maybe the Nevermarine is the cause of the Great War.
Okay, that's one of the coolest, like, okay, you know what? Let's really get, that's bizarre. Also, kudos, did you, tell me you read that or did you do the math on that yourself?
I did the math. It doesn't match exactly. It's like a year
yeah,
off.
Yeah, it's in the ballpark type of thing.
But it's in the ballpark of it.
The fact that it's that close is one of those things. It's like, well, is that just total luck? Or was somebody just screwing around and being like, all right, you know what? We'll just make it just, because again, you know, the benefit of the series is how little is concrete in it. So it's funny when they do these weird crossovers that then makes series crossover potentially murky water as well. And this, yes, Rob, that is some deep Illuminati shit right there.
And with this, I actually consider of all the crossovers we're talking about, the one that is most likely to be canon will be this one.
Yeah, that one. Well, that's very interesting. That there is that crossover, or you know, implied so much as that in crossover. So yeah, that's like, I don't know. I really like that. That's super funny. That honestly, though, you're right. That's probably going to be the most likely if they were to go with it. I personally do prefer if they keep the series separate. Obviously, I like both of the series, but at the same time, I would be fine if they stayed separated. But at the same time, that one's really funny because it's so, I don't know, that seems almost too on the nose to not be at least an intentional joke from like a dev or something like that. It just seems weird that it adds up so much like that. Go ahead.
I would say that I was really shocked when I did the math and realized how close it was and thinking to myself, was this intentional or was this just a happy accident?
Right. Sometimes as we joke, things sync up kind of in a weird way because, again, you'd think that we were doing this episode today based on a reaction to the announcement of the Fallout or the Fortnite thing. And it was like, it's about a week off of when we started planning this. So it's like sometimes they're just happy accidents. But yeah, this one, I don't know. I feel like a dev was really going deep on trying to joke around with that. But I guess, you know, I feel like they probably won't spill the beans on that one. But yeah, so do you have any others that you would like to specifically tackle while we still got some time going here?
Well, the next ones that would be obvious will be the amount of times that the Skyrim helmet has shown up in other places.
Sure.
You have a dead body with the helmet on and an arrow in its knee in Doom 2016.
Yes, in 2016. Yep. I actually remember that one specifically. I was looking around because there's lots of collectibles in Doom, and when I was playing it, I remember seeing that one. I was like, oh, okay, an arrow to the knee joke. That's on brand. Like,
That same helmet shows up again in Wolfenstein the Old Blood during the prologue on top of some boxes.
That one's pretty cool. See, I haven't played Wolfenstein the Old Blood, so that one, that's pretty cool.
Which is also interesting because Wolfenstein has a Doom Easter egg of a portal with Doom within it, the series. So it's considered possibly part of the same series.
Yeah, part of the same. That's pretty cool.
So tying that back again to the Doom crossover with Fallout, we get ourselves a little triangle of everything being interconnected in some way.
Yep. Now I love the shared, I don't know, the shared IP universe more so than even just like the, oh yeah, it's the same universe, but it's like the shared IP universe. I guess just one of the ones that I find amusing, just because I believe it was Camel Works who I originally saw this from. And it's like one of those like Easter egg things. It was in one of his Skyrim Easter egg videos, but it's like such a weird Easter egg because it's another series that I just happen to like and it's super old. But and again, it's more of just an Easter egg than anything else. But the Pac-Man reference that they make out of the cheese wheels in Skyrim, I was like always endlessly amused by that, just because, you know, that was, I wasn't even playing video games, I don't think, or alive when Pac-Man first launched. I might have been alive. Whatever. I don't know Pac-Man lore off the top of my head. But nonetheless, I was going to say I love Pac-Man. So like the fact that they made a Pac-Man out of a cheese wheel, gobbling little mini cheese wheels that were full to do the pack pellets. That's like another one that it's just goofy. Not a lot to it, just kind of there that I loved. So before we got off the Skyrim topic, that was one of my one of the few that I really liked, just as a goofy in Skyrim one.
Well, actually, speaking of Skyrim, there's tons of other ones that we have from Skyrim itself that was crossovers. One of our very first crossovers we got was the Portal crossover with the Fall of the Space Core.
Oh, yes.
And that was... It was labeled Volume 1, but we never got any additional volume, sadly.
I actually totally forgot about all of that entirely. Yeah, that it's... we all know that Valve can't count too far. They get to 2 or... well, they don't ever get to 3, really.
I don't think 3 is in their vocabulary.
No, I don't think so either.
But we did get some extra lore that this could be another one that could be canon, as Cartography from the forums back in 2021 had a reference to the Space Corps actually being Kenereth. And his exact quote was, "All this being said, I can confirm that the Space Corps is Kenereth." Bet you didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, no, that's... nope.
And that leads us also into another one. Back during the paid mods fiasco of 2015, there was several other official mods that were released. One of those was Lambda Locator, which was a quest mod of you preventing a resonance cascade within Skyrim. And it ties in with Half-Life, and Half-Life ties into Portal. So... again, another nice little trinity.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I was looking up another one because it was so... It's funny because when you originally brought this topic up, I didn't realize just how many there were. And like... There's a lot. Be they crossovers like fully, or whether they're like sort of like jokes type of thing in the other series. Yeah, they're very prevalent. I guess from a game that sold, I believe they announced what, 60 million at the last Xbox related thing where they were talking about it. A lot of, like, it's hard to have something that prevalent in popular culture not just end up in a zillion different things. Go ahead.
I would say that I'm surprised that we don't have more crossovers than it's taken us this long to have them.
To get so many. Yeah, because a lot of these, as you'll notice, like there's a few that are crossovers, and a lot, there's others that are nods. And obviously, in like a 50-minute episode of a show, we are going to miss some of these. These are just some that we thought was were interesting, and a couple really deep cut ones that you were able to bring to the table that I think I would be surprised if a lot of people even knew existed.
Yeah, I've been keeping a track of the official crossovers. And I've been keeping this document and updating it as each crossover comes out, but it's not really lore related so much as it is franchise related. So I haven't really found a great place to be able to place it on the site yet, but eventually I will.
Yeah. So other than, so I want to jump into this one because we had made jokes and people have mentioned a couple of like the arrow to the knee jokes being pretty prevalent in a lot of things, and it would probably be hard to keep up with how many arrow to the knee jokes there were. So as opposed to an arrow to the knee joke, one that I personally, it's another series that I really enjoy, for anybody who's played the Borderlands series, which is kind of like Diablo with guns, it's the best way I can reference it. honestly, there's probably an Arrow to the Knee joke in there, but that's not what I specifically had remembered and wanted to bring up. When you die in Borderlands 3, or any of the Borderlands for that matter, you basically get put back together so that you don't get a game over screen, and they just reform you. And essentially the idea in the series is, okay, you died, like, and they just made a clone of you out of your DNA, so you're not even the same person. And during one of the death sequences, which I remember this, and I was actually looking it up to confirm that it wasn't one of those like false memories, but it's listed on several different things, so I'm not crazy. But one of the times that you are put back together, it's kind of funny because the new youth station usually makes fun of you for dying, like, oh, you know, way to go, hero, or something like that. And one of the times you're put back together, the station, the formation station will go, hey, you're finally awake, you were trying to cross the border, right? And I was like, okay, I didn't imagine that, because I swore that one of the times it did it, you're finally awake joke, which, for anybody, I don't know how you wouldn't know the intro, it's probably the most famous intro to anything potentially ever, when you're riding the cart and the scene kind of fades in as you wake up. So yeah, that game actually has a reference to you waking back up, which I originally remember finding really funny, and I actually don't think the people I was co-oping with had any idea why I was laughing now that I'm thinking of it.
That's a great one that I was not even aware of.
Yeah,
thank you for bringing it to me.
Yeah, it's funny. It was one of those things that I've been racking my brain since you brought it up, and I'm like, I swear there was like something about getting reformed. And honestly, I was doing a little Googling, and there's like a deluge of it. It's like, oh my god, did anybody catch this? And I was like, okay, I'm not, because I beat Borderlands 3 a couple years ago. I was like, it's one of those like fake things that I think I remember, and it wasn't really there. But yeah, so that one's got a really funny one in it. Got another one you want to tackle? We still got a little time. I've got one more as well, but I was going to say, one more that I specifically wanted to bring up, but I was going to say, what you got another one you want to dive into next?
If I had one more that I would want to bring up,
yeah,
it would definitely be something that was recently released. So there is a developer from Morrowind's time called Douglas Goodall. And he has recently returned to the community. He was the original writer for almost all of the quest for Morrowind. And he has started to write mods that he's releasing to expand upon what he wished he could have done as a developer during Morrowind. One of those is called Afresh. And in Afresh, there is a book that he wrote called The Eye of Argonia, which is a reference to a game that never came out, yeah, that I'm still wanting to know the story of.
I know, one of the Lost Travels games.
I've only been able to find out a little bit about that, but that's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
But this book is a book that is written about Grognak in the Elder Scrolls universe, searching and finding the Eye of Argonia.
Amazing. So is it, I didn't know about that one either. I love how it's just like, as if the Grognak reference wasn't like, oh, well, it's sort of subtle, like, oh, it could be Conan, blah, blah, blah. That one's just really funny, just because it's so on the nose to like, yep, all right, we'll really just double down. Also, that sounds like the perfect crossover.
It also has another meaning, because there is a Grignar, which is from the Eye of Argon, which is what the Eye of Argonia was a reference to.
Oh, weird.
Which is, it's considered one of the worst fictions ever written. And if you ever get a chance, have a bunch of friends around and try to read it by following the punctuation that's available within it, and I'm sure you'll have a good time.
That, all right, what's it's Grignar?
It's Grignar. It's called the Eye of Argon.
Grignar, the Eye of Argon. All right, so there's your homework, everyone. All right, and the final one that I wanted to bring up, because we actually used it a decent amount, and it's, again, one of those things where I guess it was foretelling the Microsoft buyout, little did we know at the time. But there are skin packs in Minecraft. It's like a super common thing. And back on the Xbox 360, when we were goofing around with Minecraft, there is not only just a skin pack for Minecraft, there is a whole overhaul thing for Minecraft. There's one for Fallout 2, which is really, really extreme. Like, it's an amped up version of the Skyrim one. Where it like redoes like some of the items and stuff like that. But the Skyrim one, obviously you can, it's got all the Skyrim skins and stuff like that. And one of the seeds, which is the like land masses that it auto generates, if you look at it from above, it's the Imperial Dragon symbol is the landmass for it. And I remember for the longest period of time, we were running around as random dragonborns and liches and stuff like that as our skins, which, again, one of those things, it was one of the first ones that I remember just jumping out at me. I was like, oh, Skyrim's here. This is great. Like, and it's funny because, again, at the time, Microsoft didn't own Mojang, I don't believe. I think that was actually before that happened, to which Microsoft now owns Mojang, and now Microsoft owns Bethesda. Noticing a theme here.
Well, I'm guessing they're going to obtain Valve next.
it's certainly interesting.
Speaking of that mod pack, it has a lot of secrets in it that are very fun to be able to find.
Yes.
There's the music disc that plays Skyrim music that you can that are hidden in chests throughout the region.
I love that because if you put them into the jukebox that you make, it play. I remember the one that plays the Dragonborn theme. Yep.
And one of my favorite is, actually I have two favorites. They're both within Whiterun from in there. One, there are smuggler tunnels that go underneath the town, that if you break some of the chests and some of the, and the stores, there's a tunnel that goes down underneath the town that leads outside. And the second one would be underneath Whiterun Castle. There is a Dwemer ruin.
Oh, I don't think I ever knew that one.
So if you look at the cliff right outside of Whiterun, you'll see a small indention. If you dig into that indention, you will enter a Dwemer ruin.
I kind of want to fire up Minecraft after and find that, because I don't think I ever found that one. Doesn't sound familiar to me at all. So
yeah, it's very small, but it's just a nice little touch.
Sure. No, it's a funny little crossover. No, this has been like a hopefully as entertaining to everybody else as it was kind of looking up and finding some of these that I didn't know about or were trying to remember the couple that I had. Do you have I figured that was like a relatively good closing one. But is there anything else I think that you might think is really fascinating that we should shout out before we kind of close up shop?
If we're going to shout out one more, it would have to be the Zelda with Switch crossover, where the Master Sword, the Tunic, and the Shield from Zelda was included within the Switch version of Skyrim.
Yes, actually, that would have been a tragedy if we skipped that one. That one's actually really good. That's a really good one. I remember first like playing it on Switch, which I don't have a Switch. I was playing on my friend. That was the first thing. I was like, oh, I want this. Like, give me the Zelda sword. He's like, yeah, all right, fine. And it looked really good in game. It like crossed over really well. So that's actually a great one to bring up before we go. Also, this isn't like an actual crossover, but friend of like original co-host of Tales of Tamriel. Since we're on the just Nintendo topic, it was something that I thought she did that was very good. Our friend HyperPixie, during the whole craze when everybody was playing Animal Crossing on their Switch, you could program music. And I remember she actually spent a decent amount of time literally programming the songs that you could have. And a bunch of them were like shared around and stuff like that because she did a fantastic job. So it was funny just because you brought up the Nintendo thing. I was like, oh, yeah, that was just entertaining at the time. So not an official crossover, but just something I remember back from the past if we're on the Nintendo train. But that was a good one.
No matter what with crossovers, I feel like it's a great way for studios that don't normally interact with each other to be able to share an experience through sharing their worlds with crossovers. Yeah.
Well, you can also tell too, a lot of times it's done as like a form of like respect or admiration for another studio, because generally they, you know, obviously developers know how complicated it is to develop games and stuff like that. And the thing is, which we encounter so much, is where we actually have everybody tends to like a lot of games. I mean, some people just play like one thing and that's it, and that's totally fine too. But the amount of crossover that happens is so common, where you'll see devs enjoying, you know, other games, whatever those games may be, outside, like during the Elden Ring craze and, you know, Zelda, all of these things. It's totally a thing that, you know, you probably don't program video games for a living if you don't enjoy video games. So the fact that they're kind of throwing fun nods at each other is just, again, they don't need to be taken super seriously by any means. And a lot of times they're not meant to be that. And sometimes it's totally a financial decision why they might be there. Or you might have a nod for some reason. But in general, it's just always neat to kind of just see like a weird little nudge to, hey, I know that. Like, I get that joke. I get that reference type of thing. So it's cool that it's just permeated so much of gaming as a whole, honestly.
I agree completely, and I really do hope that studios continue to cooperate and be able to continue to make those references and to give credit to other studios when they see things that they like.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, this one I didn't even know about. But Rob the Princess was actually just tossing out the fact that there is... Yep, there totally is. I did not actually know that. I guess since we're on the... just Nintendo closeout, I was confirming this because I actually did not know this, but apparently there is a Mii sword fighter who is in a Dragonborn costume, so it's actually in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. I had no idea. Yeah, it seems to be moderately official, Rob. Yep, called Dovahkiin. Yeah, so it does seem to be like at least referenced as being like a moderately official thing, even if it's not like fully condoned type of deal. But
there are several other ones that we didn't touch that you can be able to look up for yourself, such as Skyrim Pinball or even Team Fortress 2. There's a hat, and there's quite a few other ones. Fall Guys even had one that came out. So
really,
yes,
that one's new enough. Oh, that one's new enough that I didn't know that. And Skyrim Pinball, honestly, if you're looking for a half decent like phone game, Skyrim Pinball is not bad. It's just like, I don't know. It adapted well. I wasn't very good at it, but I know there were a few people at the UESP who were real good at pinball and got to see some real cool stuff at the end of that because they had like zillions of points and things. But yeah, that's actually sort of worth playing if you have not tried Skyrim Pinball. I assume it's still around. Like, I assume it's still
It definitely is. It's on Steam.
Okay, it's on Steam too. There you go.
And I would advise everyone to keep your eyes open for more crossovers, because we never know when we're going to get another one. Just circling back to the beginning of our conversation, we now have Fortnite and ESO crossing over.
Yep, I was going to say, Gunomancy confirmed. And on top of that, like I said, when it comes to Starfield, I will be shocked if we don't see something. To your point, it's got to be hidden on some planet somewhere. There's an entire galaxy designed around, like, hey, we got to slip one of these jokes in here somewhere. So
there already was the Adoring Fan.
That's true. And actually, yeah, to your point, the Adoring Fan sort of is like right out the gate as like the first like reference point, even if it's not like a planet thing. Yeah, the Adoring Fan is hilarious. For that, I hope everybody enjoyed this kind of like little spin-off episode. It's a little less segmented just because I figured we could just throw a whole bunch of these out. Obviously, I don't have some of the I have none of the soundboard that Tom has. I have my own setup for Tales, which is very different. So we'll get this edited up when we get a chance. For all of you who have joined us on the live show, thank you so much. But from here, Benefactor, where can people find you when you're not hanging out, giving everybody super obscure facts here or doing our, at this point, annual year in review for Elder Scrolls Online that you've kind of joined for every time?
Well, if I'm not joining on a crossover episode such as this, then I am usually found on Twitter mostly, and on the Imperial Library, you can be able to message me if you need to, or even our Discord, you can be able to join, and there's always discussions going on, new finds in the community, and we're always up for talking about anything lore.
Awesome. I'm obviously just Lotus of Doom. You can catch me here or on the other podcast that I co-host, which is Tales of Tamriel, presented by the unofficial Elder Scrolls Pages. I'm curious where Tom will kind of edit stuff in for, you know, sound separations. I don't actually have the Patreon list handy, so we will update for all of you coming up in the next episode. Actually, I'll try to see if I can snag that for before we do our Patreon episode. Next week we will have a Patreon episode, which I will also be hosting, so unfortunately you get back-to-back episodes of just me hosting, although we'll have lots of fun other people hanging out on the show, so that we can discuss a new topic, and then after that we'll be back to the different type of Daedra when Tom returns. And obviously you can check out all of the stuff on robotsradio.net. That's Robot's whole network worth of stuff. My other show that I'm part of is on there, as well as a myriad of other things. The Follow Lorecast that we referenced. There's bound to be something that you will enjoy over there. And I hope all of you have a great rest of your day or night. And we will talk to you all next time, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.